Amen. You know what, that the thought of this song is that we do go through a lot of trials and storms in life. I mean, don't we? Amen? Yeah. And if you're not going through one today, you'll probably go through one tomorrow or sometime. That's just how life is. But praise God, we have an anchor that holds. Amen. I like that song. Praise the Lord. Fits right in with the message today, too. All right, let's turn over to Psalm 42. Psalm 42. And this is on my pulpit, so I better make an announcement about this. There will be a Foundations of Life Creation Conference over in Longview, and the information's on the back table back there in the vestibule about that Creation Conference. And that's in February. I don't have the dates on here. Here it is. February 3rd and 4th. And at didn't even say where it's at. Calvary Community Church, Longview. So you may want to take part in that. Okay. Psalm 42. Psalm 42. As a hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul and me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me, therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep, at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, Why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. We also want to read Psalm 43. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For thou art the God of my strength, and why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me, let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go into the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. And let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the wonderful encouragement that we receive from your word. And Lord, we know that we do go through hard times in our lives sometimes, and Lord, we thank you that we do have an anchor that holds even in those hard times. And Lord, we just pray now that you bless the sermon. We pray that you would, your Holy Spirit would just have his way in each of our lives, that we would open our hearts and our minds and our hearts to what you have for us today. We pray, Father, that you would show yourself powerful here now, and that we would hear from heaven. Speak through me now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to call your attention, first of all, to verses 5 and 11, and also chapter 43 and verse 5. So basically, all three verses say the same thing. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. I'd like to speak to you today on the subject of hope thou in God. What we need is hope. We need hope. G.K. Chesterton said, "There is no medicine like hope, no incentive so great, and no tonic so powerful as expectation of something better tomorrow." Martin Luther said, "Everything that is done in the world is done by hope." Now, the hope of the word hope that the world uses is different in meaning than the word that the Bible uses. It needs to be carefully defined differently, because when the world says hope, they simply mean that they're looking forward to something a little better than what is happening right now. And it's something that's probable that could happen, probably will happen. And so they hope for that. But the Bible's definition of the word hope is much different than that. The Bible's definition is a deep, settled confidence that God will keep his promises. See, God has made as many promises in his word. And hope is a deep, settled confidence, a trust, and just a knowing that God is going to do what he said he was going to do, you see. That's really what biblical hope is all about. Man cannot live without hope. Do you know that? Hope is essential for life. Even the world recognizes the importance of hope. O.S. Martin, who is a free thinker in the early part of the 20th century, said this. I'll talk more about him a little bit, but he said, there's no medicine like hope. There's no medicine like hope. A little over a month before he died, the atheist Jean-Paul Sartre declared that he so strongly resisted feelings of despair that he would say to himself, "I know I shall die in hope." Then in profound sadness, he would add, "But hope needs a foundation." An anchor that's not stuck into a rock is a worthless anchor, in other words. Hopelessness is a terrible thing. We cannot live with hopelessness. We are just, God has made our nature, made us in a way that we have to have hope to survive. As I say, the world even recognizes this. There was a study of the relation of hopelessness to levels of depression and suicidal intent in 384 17 to 63-year-old suicide attempters. It supports, and the outcome of that supports previous reports that hopelessness is the key variable linking depression to suicidal behavior. Why do people commit suicide? Because of hopelessness. We cannot live without hope. Ephesians 2:12 says that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. This is the hopeless situation of the lost person. No matter what kind of conjured up hope that a lost person can come up with from this world, ultimately, there is no hope for a lost person without Christ. There is no hope. Having no hope and without God in the world. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 also says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. I have told you this before, but I remember when my father passed away. And the difference between the atmosphere and the room there with my father and another person that was dying down the hallway. Dr. Kirkpatrick, who was my dad's doctor, a Christian man, good Christian man, he came into our room there and he said, you cannot believe the difference between what's happening here in this room, the peace, the hope, and what's happening down the hallway. They're down there screaming and crying. There is no peace and there is no hope without God. In our text, we read in these verses 5, verse 11, chapter 43, verse 5, we read the words, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? So the first point I want to make is that, yes, there are times of discouragement, times that we feel cast down, times when we can't hardly keep our head above water. And then there's the answer to that question, why art thou cast down, O my soul? The answer comes in this phrase, hope thou in God. That's the answer to that dilemma. Hope thou in God. So that's the message today, those two points. We are sometimes discouraged, disheartened, but there is hope in God. Now, this psalm was not written as just a poet's inspiration, thinking that that would be a good thing to write, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But more than that, it is a real life experience of the psalmist, of David. And I believe Psalm 42 and 43, or maybe perhaps was even the same psalm originally, I'm not sure. But certainly the theme is there. It runs all the way through those two psalms. And but the story, I want to bring you back to the story where the setting for this psalm, if I could. If you look at 2 Samuel chapters 15 and 16, it was one of the hardest times in the life of King David. Now David had gone through many things. He had been a fugitive from King Saul for a number of years. He was in fear of his life, always running and hiding in caves and different places. And he had a hard time those first few years there. Finally, victory came and he was crowned king in Hebron and later in Jerusalem over all of Israel. And and we know about his great victories as king and also his failures. And but then later in his life, I believe this is the setting for this psalm, when there was a rebellion against him by his own son, Absalom. It was a very sad time in the life of David. In fact, here are just some things that he was going through at that time. His own son had formed a conspiracy against him. You know, I've thought about that. How would I feel? And all of us as parents, you know, you look at that little one that's sitting on your lap right now. Can you imagine in 20, 25 years from now, that little one turning against you and conspiring against you and even threatening your life, you know? How would that make you feel? I mean, the turmoil within David must have been horrendous. I just can't hardly imagine how disheartened he would have been over that. Just that thought alone. But that wasn't all. His life was also being threatened. He was being removed from his throne, running for his life from Jerusalem. His friends, many of his friends, had abandoned him. In fact, the men of Israel, their hearts had been turned toward Absalom and away from David. And we read that there in 2 Samuel. And even his, perhaps his best friend or his counselor, the one that he had trusted, the one that he had taken sweet counsel together with many times, Ahithophel, turned against him. Psalm 55, verses 12 through 14, I think, is a psalm about this man, Ahithophel, and during this time of rebellion. It says, "For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company." And so this trusted friend had turned against David. And then he was, as he was fleeing from Jerusalem, he was ridiculed and mocked by Shimei, one of the descendants of Saul. And I always picture that. David walking along the road there. I don't know exactly how it was, but this is how I picture it. David was walking along the road, and there was a steep bank up above the road. Shimei is walking along the ridge of that bank up there. He's throwing down dirt and throwing down dust and rocks at David and mocking him and cursing him. And one of David's men, Abishai, says, "Let me go up and take off his head." And David says, "Let him curse. Let him curse. Maybe God will look on my affliction here." And it was a sad time in the life of David. He was removed from the place of worship and the spiritual presence of God there in Jerusalem. Sad, sad time in his life. So, was David ready to give up? Throw in the towel? No hope? No way. No way. David was not a quitter. In 2 Samuel 15:25, it says, "The king said unto Zadok," or Zadok, I guess I should pronounce that, "Carry back the ark of God into the city. If I shall find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me again and show me both it and his habitation." What's David saying? He's saying, "Man, I've got hope. I've got hope. I've got hope that God's going to turn this thing around. That it's going to be okay." You see, David had never lost hope. Even though he was discouraged, disheartened, yet he had not lost hope. Like what the Apostle Paul said, you know, he had a lot of troubles in his life, in his ministry. He'd been stoned. He had been shipwrecked, I think, three times. He had been, run out of town, and persecuted in every imaginable way. He had been forsaken by those he trusted. Many difficult things happened to the Apostle Paul. But in 2 Corinthians 4, 8, and 9, this is what he says: "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." What's he saying? He's saying, Yes, we're going through difficult times. Yes, I've gone through many trials. Yes, it's been very difficult. But there is hope. There is always hope for the Christian. Amen? You know, when you get discouraged, down, you don't want to pray. Maybe. You don't want to be around other people. You don't want to fellowship. Maybe you don't even want to come to church. You just want to stay home and cuddle up in a corner somewhere. You know. You're all depressed, discouraged. But those are just the opposite things that you should do. You know that? Look what David says here in the Psalm, starting with verse 1. This was his heart when he was discouraged, okay? This is what he did. As a hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise to the multitude that kept holy day. So what did he do? He sought God. He sought the face of God. He prayed. And not only just praying, but he thirsted for God. Like the deer that, you know, can't hardly imagine this in this climate, but over there in Israel, sometimes it's very dry and doesn't rain for a long time, like in the case of Elijah's time for 3 years. And you imagine how dry it would have been. All the rivers perhaps are all dried up already, and the ponds dried up, and there's just no water anywhere. And here's this deer wandering, staggering around for thirst, almost ready to die, staggering, tongue hanging out, looking for a drink of water. Finally, he comes to a little narrow brook, a little narrow stream, and that water is so refreshing and so good. That's the illustration that the psalmist uses here to show us how we are to seek after God. As a hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God. The other thing that David did, he went to church. You're discouraged? You know what you got to do? You got to go to church. David went to church. Look what it says. Verse 4. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God. See that? Yeah, he was discouraged. But he went to church. And so why art thou cast down? That's a question. Why? Soul, he's talking to himself. You know, you ever talk to yourself? I talk to myself all the time. And sometimes I answer myself too. He was talking to himself. And he was talking to his soul, the inner self, saying, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Well, the question, or the answer to that question is, we should not be. We should not be cast down. At least we should not be destroyed. Because the answer comes, hope thou in God. Hope thou in God. There is always hope in God. No matter how difficult the situation is, no matter how what you're going through, there is always hope in God. How many of you know that? How many of you believe that? Hold your hands up if you believe that. Okay. Great. Because I know some of you are going through some struggles right now. And I know that you need hope. There is hope in God. Hope thou in God. Now we're tempted to try to find our hope in many other places. We want to find hope in something tangible, don't we? You know. And God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So we're always looking for some tangible source of hope. Unfortunately, these are all false hopes. Sometimes some might be looking for hope in things or in money. And, you know, if I was just rich. I was thinking about that movie that we like to watch at Christmas time. It's a Wonderful Life. And George Bailey, what was it he always was wanting? You remember? $1 million, right? Yeah. Always wanted $1 million. That was his hope. He was going to have $1 million. But we also know that he, well, anyway, that's enough of that. So, that's a false hope. Things, money, that's a false hope. Maybe if you just had a better job, if you just had a promotion, if you just had more recognition, if you just had some honor, maybe some notoriety, if that's your hope, you're going to be sadly disappointed. Don't put your hope in those sorts of things. Those are false hopes. Brother Pastor Mike was talking about Trump today and America. And, you know, no, we cannot put our trust or our hope in Donald Trump. Okay? We cannot do that. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 146, verse 3, put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. Psalm 118:9 says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. And so as much as we look for some better things to happen in America in the next 4 years or so, that cannot be where our hope is. Not at all. Maybe your hope is in family. Or friends. Family and friends can disappoint you too. You cannot put your hope in family and friends. In 2 Samuel 15, 12 through 13, it talks about, again, this man Ahithophel, the friend of David. Verse 12 through 13, it says, and Absalom sent for Ahithophel the Gilonite, David's counselor, from his city, even from Gilo, while he offered sacrifices. And the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. And there came a messenger to David, saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. You can't put your hope in friends or family. And then you can't put your hope in self either, in yourself. And this, there was a movement back in the early part of the 20th century that, you know, just look to yourself. You know, you can do it. There's a spark of divinity in everybody. You know what? That's an anti-biblical philosophy. You know that? And so, this guy I was talking about a while ago, O.S. Martin, he was a free thinker of that era, an author, and he authored a magazine called Success, I believe, for a while. But anyway, this is what he said. And part of what he said is true. Part of the statement is true. But a lot of it is false. The golden opportunity you are seeking is in yourself. It is not in your environment. It is not in your luck or chance or the help of others. It is in yourself alone. Now, it's true that it's not in your environment, and it's true that it's not in luck or chance, and it's true that it's not in others. But it sure dead sure is not in yourself either. There's nothing in our thought. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. You see? Don't put your hope in yourself, in your abilities, or how strong you are, or how intelligent you are, or how, you know, much of a people person you might be, and you can persuade people or whatever. Don't put your hope in yourself. Hope in God. Hope in God. The answer that the psalmist gives always is hope thou in God. Psalm 42:5 again. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. You know, don't you put your hope in this pastor either. Don't do it. I'm just a man, flesh and blood, just like you are. And I can disappoint you just as easily as you can disappoint yourself, or somebody else can disappoint you. Now, I try. I want to be a good pastor. I want to do what's right. I want to be what you need. But I want to tell you something. That's not the place you need to put your hope. Don't you put your hope in a man. You put your hope in God. That's the only, that's the anchor that will hold, you see. He is a solid rock. Romans 15:13 says, Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Are you abounding in hope today? Maybe you're going through some tough times right now, but are you abounding in hope in the promises of God? Are you leaning on the promises? Are you leaning on him, on the everlasting arms? Is your anchor firm in the solid rock? Or is it in something else? What is your hope in? So hope is a deep, settled confidence that God will keep his promises. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. There are times in our lives when we've done all we can do, we can't do anything else, and we've prayed, and things still look really bleak and bad. You know what you need to do next? Be still and know that I am God. Now, that's not an excuse for us not to do all that we should do ourselves. Not at all. But after we've done what we can do, be still and know that I am God, he says. Hope thou in God. So what are you going through today? Many of us have heard about the Houston baby and the fact that he stopped breathing, was in the hospital. I heard last night that he passed away. And he's safe in the arms of Jesus today. And I think about the Houstons right now. I think I know them well enough and know how they're handling this. Of course they're grieved. Maybe they feel cast down. Maybe they feel a little discouraged. But I also know that their hope is in God. And they're going to be okay because their hope is in God. So whatever you're going through today, Remember that. Your hope is in God. Ben, your hope's in God. Jared, your hope is in God. I know I've told you this illustration before, but it fits so well with this message that I want to give it again. It's an illustration that gives us some visualization of our hope in God. Someone was in an art gallery looking, I think it was a pastor, looking at some art, and one particular picture caught his attention. It was a picture of a beautiful landscape, mountain scene. Then in the foreground, there was a cabin that had just burned to the ground. All that was left was just a chimney and some charred remains of this burned out cabin that was still smoking from the fire the night before. Standing out in front of the cabin are two people, an old man, probably a grandfather, standing there in his night clothes. I'm sure all that he had left. And a little boy standing beside him. And the little boy was clutching a pair of ragged blue jeans, as if that was the only possession that he had left. Tears were streaming down his face. And the old man looked down at the boy, and he said, there was a caption at the bottom of the picture, the words of the old man. He said, "Hush, son, God ain't dead." Amen? And that's the attitude we need to have. When we're going through hard times, hush, God ain't dead. Keep your hope in God. No matter how hard it gets, no matter what you're going through, there is always hope for the Christian in God. Yes, the trumpet could sound today, it'd be all over. Amen? That'd be okay, wouldn't it, huh? We have so much to look forward to. This little while here on earth is just a little while compared to eternity. And heaven is a wonderful place. We have many promises of God that we can latch on to. The promise of eternal life with God forever for those who have trusted in Him. So today, if you haven't ever accepted Christ as your Savior, I gotta say, you do not have hope. There is nothing for you to hope in. Nothing. You have nothing. But you can have hope today if you'll receive Christ as your Savior. You can have the hope of heaven. You can have the hope of eternal life. You can have the hope of having your sins forgiven and having a relationship with God. You can have all that. Hope thou in God. That's the answer to all the dilemmas that this life brings to us. Hope thou in God. Let's pray. Father, we ask now that you would bless our invitation time. Father, if there is one here that doesn't have hope, is not saved, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. They would find hope in you, Lord. For the rest of us, Lord, maybe some of us have been going through some difficult times. I pray, Lord, that you would uphold us, strengthen us, help us to always have hope, because our hope is in you. and you are dependable. And we know that you have the answers. We know what our future is. We know what your promises are, and we stand on your promises. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.